ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال تعالى فدلهما بغرور وقال تعالى يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة وقال تعالى في موضع آخر إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسول الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, dear brothers in Islam, it is through the fadl and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to gather on this great Mubarak day of Jumu'ah to recognize and acknowledge the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the only object in truth that is worthy of worship, and we also acknowledge the numerous and countless favors and bounties that is bestowed upon us, and especially the favor of Iman and Islam. Today the topic that we will be dealing with is Kaidu Shaytan wa Ghururihi. It is the plotting of Shaytan and his deception, to show that how the effects of Shaytan has actually influenced the current situation that we live in, that we are very much deceived by what we see around us because of the influence of Shaytan. Before we go into currently what is happening, we will first look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn our attention to this point. And from the basis of the Quran, we can then link up and understand what is happening in front of our eyes. In Surah Yasin, ayat number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention by this verse, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Did I not make a pact and an agreement with you, O Bani Adam, O children of Adam, meaning O human beings? Have I not made an agreement with you, O human beings, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ, that you should not worship the shaitan? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, he is for you an open enemy, a clear enemy. Whenever the topic of shaitan is discussed, because shaitan is invisible, he's not visible to our eye, so in the minds of people generally, it is something, because it's not seen, it's not visible, so people tend to think of it as maybe a fairy tale, or something that is not real, or it's just meant to scare us, or whatever. It's not taken real, because we cannot see it. But if our iman is correct in the Quran Sharif, then we study the verses of the Quran, we will see on numerous occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates and explains the nature of shaitan. So just a few examples. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention that He has made a pact and an agreement with us that we should not worship shaitan. And worshipping of shaitan does not necessarily mean that we make sajda in front of him, but it also can mean that when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically we have given worship to shaitan. We have given recognition to the whisperings and the suggestions of shaitan. So this is the way of actually worshipping the shaitan. So we have to be very careful in this regard. And further on at the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, He is for you an open enemy. Then we find in Surah A'raf, ayat number 22, again Allah ta'ala brings another verse and says, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغَرُورٍ. This is a small verse, so He deceived them. He deceived them by means of deception. He misled them by means of deception. Ghurur means deception. This is actually referring to Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa alayhi salam, our parents, our grandparents, our spiritual parents, that when they were in paradise, Shaitan was jealous of them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. We know that story there, and he rebelled. So now he wanted to get his own back, and he wanted to make sure that they fall in disfavor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he deceived them by telling them, Hal adulluka ala shajaratil khuld? Should I not show you a tree which is a tree of eternity? Should I not point out to you a tree of eternity? Wa mulkin la yabla, and a kingdom which will never perish. So the very same tree which Allah Ta'ala says, La taqrabu hadhi shajara, do not go close to this tree. This specific tree is forbidden for you, O Adam alayhi salam. So that same tree which Adam alayhi salam was forbidden from, Shaitan now comes after a while and says, Hal adulluka ala shajaratil khuld? Should I not point out to you a tree of eternity? Meaning if you eat from that tree which Allah has forbidden you from, you will live forever. Wa mulkin la yabla, and also I will point out to you a kingdom which will never perish. So indirectly he was also putting into their minds that if you do not eat from this tree, then eventually you will be deprived of living forever in paradise, in Jannah. So فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغَرُورٍ, so he misled them by means of deception. These stories are not mentioned there merely for my entertainment and for your entertainment. It is mentioned there as a lesson for us. Then again we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah A'raf ayat number 27, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Indeed, he and his army, Shaitan and his tribe, see you from where you cannot see them. So this enemy is a real enemy, and just like when war takes place, the enemy waits in ambush. One enemy can see the other enemy, he is able to ambush the opposite enemy. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that innahu yarakum huwa wa qabilu, he and his tribe, he and his group of jinns, they are able to see you min haythu la taronahum, from where you cannot see them. This is just like warfare, strategy of warfare, waiting in ambush for us. But Allah has given us the protection, He's given us the tools how to protect ourselves. But this is another nature of shaitan. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, إِنَّ جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, we have made the devils as helpers, as friends and helpers for those who do not believe. The shaitan, the devils, all the shayateen, they act as guardians, as protectors, as helpers and as friends, لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, for those who do not believe. And this is some of the verses which gives us an understanding of the nature of shaitan. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us He's an enemy, He's an open enemy. He sees us from where we cannot see Him. He's waiting in ambush for us at every opportunity to mislead us and to deceive us. He cannot physically make us do the wrong, but He can use deception. And Allah has warned us about it, so we have no excuse. And also, thirdly, that the devils, they actually befriend and they assist and help those who do not believe. And very specifically in our time, if we study very deeply what is actually happening, we find that the devils, the shayateen, have actually befriended the a'immatul kufr, the leaders of kufr, those who are in leading positions in the Western world, who have the financial and the military muscle and the political and economic muscle to influence world affairs. The devils have actually influenced them. There's a lot of literature on this point, that how these people are linked to Satanism and so on and so forth. But where we want to actually come to make us aware how this effect of shaitan has actually reached me and you on the ground. In different fields, we have been deceived. We have been brainwashed. If we understand how the media is controlled, how they are linked up to these big financiers, because the media cannot set up big publishing houses without finance. Where do they get the finance from? They get it from the big banks. The very same circles from where this whole control is emanating from. All this fitna and mischief is emanating from these Zionist bankers. So they finance the publishing houses. They also give them big revenue by way of advertising. So if you go and look for the owners of the publishing houses, you might not see the names of those people who you may think is linked. But there's no need for them to own it. This is the point. There's no need for them to own the publishing houses. They merely have to control it through their financing of these publishing houses, through their advertising revenue, etc., etc. and also through the control of paper, because they are at the source of all production. Today, these very same financial houses and banks, they are also in the paper industry. Any sort of paper you need, you have to go to these big houses for that paper, because they are producing this paper. So they're always at the center of production. This is how they control affairs. To such an extent, they've got control of resources and production. Even the seeds and the food that we are eating is being controlled by them. And if you go into the research about genetic engineering, you will see haqq and true how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and warned us about the shaitan's promise, لَأُغَيِّرَنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will most certainly change the creation of Allah. From the natural creation that we are supposed to be, shaitan has taken an oath that he will attempt to change this. And in genetic engineering, you will find that this is taking place, that how they're interfering with the very nature of food and what effects it is having on our immune system. And there's a very, very big discussion, also links up with AIDS, etc. That's another topic, how we're being deceived with AIDS. It's a big, big deception, all emanating from the influence of shaitan. There is no AIDS virus. If you want further research, there's a book on it called World Without AIDS, written by two researchers from London. That's just one book. There's several books on this topic, written by doctors. So even doctors might get a bit worried, but these are written by doctors who do not accept the mainstream view, because the media is pushing all these ideas. So this is another angle altogether. But coming to لَأُغَيِّرَنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, I will change the creation of Allah. Are you aware that there are some researchers that are discovering that the chickens, and in some places even in the meat industry, those commercial farmers, under the influence of these big financial houses, are using certain hormones and certain, injections or whatever you want to call it, and certain feeds, which are genetically engineered feed, which is having an impact on the hormones in the human beings. To such an extent that when you try to figure out how come there are so many gays, use the word gays, they use the word gay to show that it's an acceptable thing to have gays. Just to bring you to the point, a few days ago in the newspaper they spoke about 100 million has been set aside for a gay village in Durban, because now there's a competition between Cape Town and Durban, who is more going to give the rights and recognize the rights of gays. We call them Moffies. They are Moffies, and we should not be afraid to call them that. When the mayor of Durban used that term, he was lashed by the white community. This community that is influenced by the West, they want to protect the rights of gays. They have got no rights. As far as the Quran is concerned, they have got no rights. And now they're talking of setting up certain village like this in Durban. We cannot afford to keep quiet. We know from the Quran what has happened to any community that remains silent on such serious issues. So the food that we eat also, I'm not saying every type of food we're eating, but I'm just giving you an idea how we are being deceived. They speak about using these injections to increase the production of chicken and meat and milk and whatnot. But these hormones are having such an impact that it changes the hormonal balance in the human beings and leads them to become more and more female. So this is the evil system that we are. This is why we find that there are so many people that are, very easily inclined to becoming female. This is where the system is stemming from. So it's a deliberate effort. And through the media, they keep on forcing us, we must accept and recognize the rights of gays. So you can see how everything is linked up. It's a satanic influence. And we will not understand this unless we keep aware and understand the message of the Quran Sharif, that لَأُغَيِّرَنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. This is just one angle of this. Then if you look at even our education, in the economic field, how we are being deceived. Yesterday there was a big meeting in Durban held by an organization that came from the United States. It's called GATA for short, GATA. It means Gold Antitrust Action Committee. It's a group of people that has come from the United States, and they are actually lobbying the government and people who are involved in gold, that the gold price is actually being very artificially suppressed, deliberately manipulated. The gold price is actually at the moment roughly about $260, $270, but it shouldn't be less than $600 per ounce. Between $600 to $1,000 is actually the actual price that should be set for gold. So who is suffering? The continent of Africa is the main region where gold is produced. So the financial houses and the Zionist bankers are cheating the African continent and its people from its own resources, underpricing it. So what we find in the media and in the press, that gold has got no value, gold is losing its value. Who's doing this? The very same people who are controlling all this, they're brainwashing us through the media to say, no, gold has got no value. But what does the Quran Sharif tell us? We have lost touch with the Quran Sharif. I'm saying this because I've spoken to many Muslims to say, listen, invest some of your money in gold, because if the financial system does collapse, it has had a very bad knock so many times, then your money is intact in gold, because gold will never lose its value. We have got this from the Quran. Don't lose sight of this. How do we know this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it has been zuyyana lin-nas. The whole ayat is quite a long ayat, but in this ayat Allah says that it has been it has been beautified and adorned for mankind, the love of women and children and wealth from gold and silver. So Allah has mentioned zahab, gold there. That's one. Then also, we know our zakat is based on gold and silver. So if this was something that would lose value and be one day useless, then why would the Sharia place value on this and not on diamonds? Yet we are being focused on other minerals. So gold will never lose its value. We've got this from the Quran. So Muslims should look after their financial interest also. Even in the health field, we are being told about vaccinations, the importance of vaccinations. There are doctors that are writing that vaccinations is actually damaging our immune system. There are so many doctors that are writing now that AIDS has actually been passed through vaccinations. And another important point is that there is no such AIDS virus actually. It is merely a problem with the immune system, which can be corrected through correct diet and nutrition, etc. And proper rest, changing the lifestyle, etc. And of course, there's other factors of poverty, malnutrition. But all these can be corrected. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ دَاءً إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ دَوَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send down any sickness. Not any sickness has He sent. إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ دَوَاءً. Except He sent a cure for it. Every sickness is a cure for it. But what the mainstream media and the pharmaceutical houses are making us to believe, that certain sicknesses are incurable. Cancer. They keep on saying there's no cure, the only thing is go for chemotherapy. But there's about 123 different natural cures for cancer, which is being deliberately suppressed. And I've got the list of all those products. We need to do our research. How many people I've been getting reports about when I spoke about this topic, phoning me, certain person has got cancer, certain person just passed away. Believe me, brothers, almost every single day I had one or two calls on this. In our own community, people that are affected with cancer, Alzheimer's disease. All these are being deliberately brought on by these big financial houses because they also control the pharmaceutical companies. Over 60 to 70% is controlled by these big financial houses. We do our research, you don't have to accept what I'm saying, but it's time for us to rethink and to awake to what is happening. In fact, one doctor has gone so far as to say, this is not Muslim doctors writing this. Doctors from America, I've got the books, this book is called Medical Mafia. This doctor is actually saying that what is happening through this use of chemical and synthetic drugs is actually considered as biological warfare upon humanity. Because it keeps you in a constant cycle of sickness. Whereas if we change our diet and our nutrition, and look after our health, inshallah, we shouldn't have a problem. We have to look after the immune system which Allah has given you and me. That immune system is naturally there to protect us from germs. The theory of the germs also is a fallacy. So constantly in every field, I'm mentioning all this to give an idea to what extent me and you have been brainwashed. We need a re-education in every field. In the field of education, in the field of economics, in the field of medicine, in so many different fields, we have been brainwashed because the entire educational system has been taken over from the early 1900s by the same circle. So we are being kept at a stunted level. We're not making progress because we're not realizing how shaitan has influenced his friends. As the Quran Sharif has said, that inna ja'alna shayateena awliya'a lilladheena la yu'minun. Indeed, we have made the devils and the shayateen as helpers for those who do not believe. And this is how they are working. All the time, constantly deceiving us. One of the biggest weapons they are using is the media, the mass media. So we should be very, very careful when we take any news from the media. Look how they are constantly brainwashing us against Taliban. Many of our brothers have been affected by this. They say, what's wrong with Taliban? They're ill-treating the woman, etc. They haven't done their homework. They accept whatever comes out from the Western media. So these are just some smattering examples. How they've affected the food, how they've affected our health, how they've affected us economically. Even we can see in our immediate city here, every day people are crying, the shops are closing in the CBD, while they have planned to move out all the big white businesses to the shopping malls, while they allow crime, etc. to affect the economy of the Muslims. Because they have already studied us and have understood us, what is happening. If they can affect us economically, they will affect our deen also. My time is up, brothers. But the message that I've brought today is that there is a great deception out there. And we need to get ourselves organized. I had a letter also which I wanted to read. Unfortunately, my time is up. A letter that was sent to one of our brothers. It is a threat from a group called Kahani Chai. I've got it here with me. Maybe if brothers want it, they can get a copy later on. But an open threat that our leaders and our ulama and our speakers should stop speaking out about Islam and also speaking out against their activities because they are threatening to disrupt and to attack the Muslims, etc. It's quite a long article, but it's available there. Why I wanted to mention this, that we are sleeping, brothers. How many times do we have programs asking the brothers that besides all our other activities of da'wah, of our islahi programs, we also have to recognize that there's another role that we have to play, and that is to secure the security interests of the ummah. We are sitting targets, brothers. People everywhere that are against Islam are organized, while we are not organized. Unfortunately, my time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and me the tawfiq and hidayat to realize that we have a social responsibility, a responsibility to the entire ummah, not only to ourselves, but to the entire community. We need to get together and start talking. We've become complacent, we've become stagnant, we've become comfortable. Alhamdulillah, we have our basic structure in place, our masajids are full, we are making our salah, etc. Our internal islah is being made. But we also have a responsibility to lead the ummah. We need direction. So we need to organize ourselves. And one suggestion I've been giving in two or three masjids is that if we can come together one Sunday in a month for maybe 2 hours, it's just a suggestion, we can think about it, from 10 to 12, 10 to half past 12, we appoint our imam or amir, etc. Just identify two or three key issues that's affecting the community, whether it be drugs, whether it be education, whatever the problem may be, or whether it be our security, whatever, discuss it, appoint a small team to look into it, do the homework, come and report back, and create the structures that will put this ummah on the footing. There's so many other activities taking place in the field of da'wah, we need to give our support. Alhamdulillah, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, a whole group of people became Muslim in the townships. About 568 accepted Islam after their pastor became Muslim. So there's work they involve. It shows and the groundwork was done for 1 year, brothers. 1 year patiently of doing school feeding schemes. And this is what it has led to. So if we do our work, a lot of things can happen. There's lots more things to tell you, but unfortunately my time is up. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.